On the air, online, from New York City, border to border, and coast to coast, you're connected with Tom Sullivan.
Yes, you are, and thank you for connecting. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the big radio show. Happy Monday to you. Today, June 21st, 2021. My name is Tom Sullivan. So, a little local news for you. Quite a weekend. We'll get into the crime over the weekend in New York, bad, Chicago, worse. But I want to do the positive stuff. Let's do the positive stuff, because over the weekend, Saturday night, Radio City Music Hall, right downstairs from where this show originates, this was the first time that Radio City was back to a 100% capacity, completely sold out. It was the final night of the Tribeca Film Festival, which they used to hold in Tribeca, but they don't anymore. So that was Saturday night, Radio City Music Hall. What's that thing hold, Alex? It's 8,000, something like 8,000 people, something like it's that's a beautiful theater, and it's great for the Tribeca Film, for just about anything. It's a great venue. So that was Saturday night. Then last night over at the Garden, the Foo Fighters showed up, and they had a completely sold out audience at Madison Square Garden, first one since the pandemic, 15,000 fans last night, which the Foo Fighters packed them in. And I mean, if you're a fan at all of the Foo Fighters or Dave Grohl or in any of that, I mean, it's just, I've followed Grohl since his Nirvana days. I like him a lot. I think he's a great musician. He's so hardworking. He loves everything that he does. I can't imagine him doing anything else. So the Garden last night was completely sold out. And what's this? They had people outside protesting. There's a lady, I see a photo here, of Madison Square Garden and Foo Fighters complicit in crimes against humanity. I'm not sure how, but the lady held up a sign. Oh, I get it. It showed a syringe with a needle, and it had a skull. Because here is the trick. Both Radio City and Madison Square Garden, you could only buy tickets if you used your New York vaccine passport. Yep. They don't, oh, no, 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 Tom. Don't call it a passport. It's a passport. They don't want to call it a passport. But that's what it is. All of us who got our vaccines in New York State, anywhere in the state, all you got to do is log in to this site, and they have your information, and it downloads a vaccine passport onto your phone. So the Garden had only vaccinated people, 100%. Radio City had only vaccinated people, 100%. I don't know how long this will last, but I got a sneaking feeling it's going to last for a while. And here, so for those of you that feel like you're being left out, certainly have every right to say, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to get a vaccine. That's your freedom, but you won't. Yeah. But the Garden doesn't have to, there's no such thing in the Constitution that says the Garden has to have to sell you tickets. They can turn you down for a lot of reasons. One of which is you're not vaccinated. So here we go. And the thing, reason why I say I think this is going to be around for a while is I admit, I'll raise my hand. I'll admit I'm feeling good about the fact that I like walking around without the mask. I don't understand those of you who got vaccinated, but you're still worried about getting infected by the virus. But do you believe that the virus or the vaccine works or not? If you don't believe it works, then why did you get it? If you believe it works, then go enjoy yourself. Sit next to somebody in an airplane or in a theater. And, well, at least at the venues so far, you're not going to be sitting next to somebody that's not been vaccinated, but on an airplane you might be. But so what? You are pretty well protected. Not completely, but, I mean, the odds of you getting the virus are really low. They always have been, but are really, really low now. And the fact that if you get the virus, the chances of you getting more than a little tiny sickness is about all you're going to get. So I found this weekend. I got to tell you something, though. New York is still, it's noticeable that people are out and about. But it is, I'm sorry, as much as they're trying to beat the propaganda band, it's not New York pre-pandemic. It just isn't. Not even close. A lot better than it was. But, so Foo Fighters put on apparently a great show. And Dave Grohl, I mean, he'll put on a show a while. I mean, he's just got so much energy. And then Dave Chappelle came out. That was weird because Chappelle was also, there's a documentary done on Chappelle that was in the Tribeca Film Festival. And then Dave Chappelle shows up on the stage last night with the Foo Fighters. And who knew? Apparently he sang a cover of Radiohead's Creep. The band covered Queen's Somebody to Love, debuted their live cover of the Bee Gees, You Should Be Dancing. So it was apparently quite a show last night. I'm glad to see it. And these are the kinds of things that they will bring out more and more people. So as far as 70%, so says Governor Cuomo, 70% of the people in New York have been vaccinated. So that's why they dropped all the restrictions. They're all gone. But these venues, I don't know if restaurants are checking for your passport or not. But these two major venues said, you got to have it. So I don't know what's going to happen. I think my point is that there are still states in this country that have very low vaccination rates. And they're probably going to be spreading around. And the doctors are all coming out now and talking about the fact that this new Delta variant, they're very worried about it. Because it's easier for people to spread. It's easier for people to catch that are not vaccinated. And it does sound like propaganda because they're going, see, I mean, this thing is really dangerous. This thing is real, really make you sick. So why don't you get vaccinated? No, they're trying to talk some of you into it. I know there's a hardcore, I'm not getting vaccinated, not now, not ever. We've had calls from some of you. But there's a group out there that's kind of going, I don't know. Gee, I'd sure like to go see some events. And if I can't go to that, well, I might as well go get it. I don't care about the vaccine, but I want to be able to buy a ticket to the Foo Fighters. So that's what's going on. And then tomorrow we've got our the voting day for the mayor of New York. And this is going to be, it's rank voting, which means you vote. They did this in Maine. It worked out pretty well. You vote for the person you want to be the winner of the election. And you put them down in column one as your first choice. Then, if there's some others that if your first choice doesn't win, well, then this is your second choice. You put the second name down in the second column, and third and fourth and fifth. You don't have to fill out all five. In fact, all you got to do is just vote for one. Doesn't matter. But they're having rank voting so that they keep whittling it down until they get down to somebody who has had 50.1% of the vote, and they will be the winner. And whoever wins tomorrow, it's the Democrat primary and the Republican primary, but the Democrat, whoever wins the Democrat primary will win in November. No, it's in September. I'm sorry, in September. So that's... They have a Republican primary, and there's just one guy who is the only one who raised enough money to buy some TV ads. And it's just, I'm going, this guy is shouting for all 30 seconds, vote for me, I'm the only Republican, I will do this, I will do that. And he's shouting the whole time. It's just the worst ad ever. So this guy doesn't have a prayer. But... I don't know who he is. I don't even know his name. I just go, oh, my gosh. What's this guy? Oh, he's the Republican. So they have it'll be interesting to see how this rank choice works out tomorrow and find out who our new mayor will be. My gosh. We've got Andrew Yang. Remember the Yang Gang guy? You know, he was fascinating, and he wanted everybody to have guaranteed income and all that. He got nowhere in the presidential primaries. Nowhere. Zero. Nobody was in sync with Andrew Yang. He's one of the candidates running for mayor, and he's running a lot of ads. I'll be curious to see where he comes in, because we got a lot of socialist. Anti-police, what a crowd running for mayor. There's a couple good ones, kind of. It's all relative. Anyway, short break. We will be right back.
You are the best radio talk show on the air in America today.
Wow, thank you. The Foo Fighters, that's from their new album, this is Make Me a Fire, which sounds so perfect for them. Anyway, so New York was rocking out last night. The crime is also rocking out, and it's on the increase. It just is on the increase. We've got inflation on the increase. We've got crime on the increase. Why is crime going up? It's going up everywhere. Andy McCarthy, former DOJ prosecutor, Southern District of New York, says it's hard to believe that, because this is out of the story that the looters back last year, last summer, after George Floyd was dead, and the looters went through Manhattan, went through everywhere, went through your city, went through everybody's city. But here in New York, more than half of them were not prosecuted. There's still about a quarter of them that their cases are still pending. Something like 70-some out of hundreds actually have been have gone through court and been fined or whatever. In other words, they're not prosecuting these people in an aggressive way. So Andy McCarthy says it's hard to believe that they're actually letting these looters just go.
Yeah, it's hard to believe that that could be true, because if you read the other pages of the papers, it talks about how the Justice Department is now prosecuting 465 people in connection with the Capitol riot, and they expect that number to go up by maybe another 100. And that's because they're scorching the earth. They're getting all the Facebook photos and all the communications help that they can get from the other big tech companies. So if you want to do these cases, if you have the political will to do them, and if you're dealing with people who don't have the political protection of the political class, they can be done. But the problem that you have here, and I think the problem that's going to really tear our society apart even more than it already has, is people get a sense that there's two tiers of justice. And when the political class wants a case done, they get it done. Mm. And when they don't, they release
everyone. So this whole line about a backlog of cases and a busy office doesn't fly with you.
Prosecutors are in the business of prosecuting. Mm-hmm. So, if you have a backlog, the way you handle it is by prosecuting the cases, not by sort of cutting them all loose.
Yeah, well, they cut them loose. NYPD data shows 485 arrests for looting last summer. Of those, 222 were dropped, about half. 73 resulted in convictions, but they dropped the charges down to misdemeanors like trespassing, which carried no jail time. Another 40 were sent off to juvenile court, and 128 remain open. So, it just says if you want to go next time there's a riot and you want to loot, what's stopping you? So over the weekend in Chicago, another bloody weekend. People shot over the weekend in Chicago. 8 were killed. Not very good. They don't shoot very straight in Chicago. They have one of the toughest gun laws in the country in Chicago. The problem that they have is they've got a decent-sized police force, 12,000 police, Chicago PD. They've got 120,000 gang members. So the gang members outnumber the cops 10 to 1. And the guns, the guns are all over the place. And Lori Lightfoot wants help with the guns. But she's been quickly corrected by most people saying it's not the guns. You've got a bunch of criminals. I understand there's a lot of illegal guns coming in. But she wants federal help with what? Why is crime on the increase everywhere? 855. Can you answer it? Because everybody's looking for an answer. 855-295-6600.
He likes it when you talk back. Tom Sullivan.
I do indeed. Happy Monday to you. I know. Summer Mondays. Well, yeah, it's a busy day out there. We got a lot going on. Crime is on the move. It's going up. Do you think it's just kind of the pendulum swings? I know in the business world, there's a business cycle that business cycles. You go from growth to slow to recession to growing to slow to recession. it goes on regular cycle. Now, there's things that can lengthen some of those or make them start. What's doing it with crime? Because crime has been down for quite some time. Not anymore. 855-295-6600. Brian in Reno. Hello, Brian.
Hey, Tom. It's been a while. I think it has a lot to do with the atmosphere right now. I don't think it's the pendulum swinging. I think that, you know, criminals are opportunistic, and they're seeing the opportune time to do this, you know, with a lot of people not being, you know, put through the system for certain things. And, you know, the climate of the world right now with certain things are off limits to talk about. They find out this is the time. You know, it's like someone burglarizing your house. They're going to case it out. They're going to look when you're not home. They're going to go in.
Sure.
And I think a lot of that has to do with no one's home in their minds. So now's the time to do it. You know, I mean, look at what happened this weekend. You know, the people leaving the Puerto Rican festival, you know, gunned down in the street. It's just, it seems to be constant and worse than I've ever seen it in my life. I mean, I'm not that old, 41, but I've never heard of these things before, ever, going on, where it's just kind of overrunning, and they know, like you said, they outnumber them, the gang members to police, they're outnumbered.
Yeah.
How hard is it going to be to find someone that looks like someone in the group, and so on and so forth, illegal guns, everything else? I think that they're just opportunistic, and they see that the door is open.
The courts, I think, have a lot to do with this. They go through their liberal versus conservative movement. I mean, you go back to the Earl Warren Supreme Court. Oh my gosh, they were coming through with all kinds of things that other courts in the past had not ever thought would be right. But the Earl Warren Court gave all kinds of leeway, became very liberal, if you will, in a lot of their rulings. And it takes a while to move courts, but it finally came around to where the courts were becoming not conservative, but not so liberal anymore. I think they're pretty balanced. But on a local basis, the courts are letting people out right and left. And I've been harping about this for, at least a year, maybe two or three. But if you listen to this program, Brian, you know that I just shake my head about letting all these convicts out of prison. And yet there's a movement. I don't understand it. Why?
I'm with you there. I don't understand letting them out either. I think it's just a big mistake. I think it's some, you know, they're trying to do a PR move and prove that they're part of the woke, you know, we're going to change the world crowd. And, you know, sometimes it's too far. You know, these are the same people that, you know, rules for thee, not for me. You know, we see this time and time again in all these states,
yes,
with, you know, governors and politicians doing this stuff. And, you know, I'm super happy with the way the Supreme Court is working right now. You know, all these people that thought it was going to be this, you know, oh, they're going to make being gay illegal and all this. Look, it has worked out very well. They are very bright people that are making good decisions. But yeah, you're right. On the local level, you're letting all these people out that are doing, I mean, atrocities, you know, I mean, regardless of whatever is going on, if you're burning something down, if you're stealing things, if you're, you know, so on and so forth, there should be punishment for that. There should not be we understand the climate right now, so back on the streets you go and try to do better next time. No. You learn those lessons as a child, not as an adult. When you're an adult, you should know better between right and wrong. And there's consequences. And when people see, hey, there's no consequences, look, everybody else is getting out, that fuels that mob fire, mob mentality of we are untouchable, we are invincible right now, they're not going to do anything. And it scrambles out of control. And before you know it, you can't get a grasp on it because you've already let go of such a big balloon. You can't hold it down anymore.
There was one of the weekend long reads in the New York Times about George Gascon, who is the district attorney in Los Angeles. And He is, I had no idea. He was a former police officer in L.A. And he says now that, you know, he arrested people and put them in prison. He says, I'm so upset by my previous behavior, and I've learned. And so he now wants 20,000. He's reviewing 20,000 prison sentences, people in prisons, many for violent crimes, including murder, and he's reviewing them for early release. And wow. So even the Democrats in Los Angeles are going, we need to do a recall effort on this guy. So there's a huge effort going on, and they're all over Los Angeles right now trying to get all this done. But murders have increased in L.A. in the last year 36%, and he wants more people that have been convicted of murder to be released on the streets. But the Times went on to report that he didn't start it. This kind of DA started, there was an election in St. Louis in 2016 and also in Chicago and in Philadelphia. And so a lot of the big left-controlled cities where people that live in big cities generally are Democrats, they're voting for these people. But it's gone too far. It's gone even too far for L.A. They're pushing back. So maybe we're at that point where the pendulum will swing back the other way.
I hope so. You know, I mean, it's hard to corral something that's gotten so out of control. And where do you start? You know, I mean, obviously you have to enforce laws on the books, period, no matter what. You know, it's this whole thing of, and I know this is off topic, but kind of related. You know, they want to set up this whole, you know, insurrection task force. And well, right. Okay, but why not for everything else? Why are we only calling that domestic terrorism, but not everything else that is going on?
I mean, you and I may disagree.
Political.
You and I may disagree. I think that was at a different level, but I think you and I come to the same conclusion. When I first heard about this, I thought, I would like to know who, how, where, what, when. I'd like to have answers to that because, you know, you got people saying that the FBI was behind it, and then you got people saying it was, oh, no, it was those crazy Trump people. And then you got others going, no, the Trump people were standing there minding their business. It was the Oath Keepers. So, I mean, it's really, I would like to know more. But the problem that I have with it is Congress can't investigate a wet paper bag. They just can't. So I'm going to leave it to the courts and the prosecutors and let them decide who they're going to prosecute and see if they can win in court or not. I think that's where we'll get answers. It may take a couple years, but anyway, I get your point, though, Brian. As always, I appreciate your call. Phone number here is 855-295-6600. Prosecutors are getting elected, and then people are going in L.A. going, whoa, we didn't want this. People are being let out of prisons. Crime is on the up rampage. 855-295-6600.
Tom, thank you for your call screener. He sounds tired today. I know he must get it from outside. So
oh, don't. Screener. No, don't. There goes his pay. Yes, yeah, so we got a little war going between Detroit and Chicago. The former police chief in Detroit, James Craig, he just retired like a couple weeks ago. He blamed Chicago's trouble on the mayor herself.
Lori Lightfoot talks about what's dangerous. The cops are dangerous? No, she's dangerous. What's happening is people who live in the most vulnerable communities in Chicago, it's South and West Chicago, vulnerable communities, who speaks for them? Who's protecting them?
So there's a guy named Clarence Page. I'm sure you would recognize him. Clarence is, pardon me, is in his early 70s. He's a columnist for the Chicago Tribune. He's a liberal. He's been a writer for the Chicago Tribune for a long, long time. He's on all the NPR shows and stuff like that. But I was taken back by Clarence Page. By the way, he sees the crime in Chicagoland. He's, well, let's listen to what he has to say.
Well, if you wonder why the heck anybody lives in Chicago, judging by the crime news that you see, the fact is that this is not a new question. Crime is not new to Chicago, number one. And your report isn't talking about crime. It's talking about violence, especially gun violence. That's what makes the biggest headlines. And that is a continuing problem. I've been around long enough to know when our homicide and shooting rate was even worse back in the 70s. It's going up and down. It was terrific in the mid-90s, like the rest of the country, violence went down. So we have a number of problems on different fronts. You just talked to Theo Hardeman there, quoted him in your report. His program, Operation Ceasefire, is a violence intervention program. It's done great work in reducing violence. You can see the parts of town that have violence intervention programs have less violence than those that don't. This has been statistically proven over time, and New York, other cities across the country have that same program and similar ones. There are a lot of different ways to approach this problem, and we're just kind of in the middle of a surge at the moment.
Yeah. I thought it was interesting what he said about the fact that he saw it was worse in the 1970s and everybody had low crime rates in the 1990s. Let's play cut eight. This is, again, Clarence Page, big liberal, African-American, writer for the Chicago Tribune, says BLM is a radical movement.
I've covered many radical movements from the Black Panthers, the Weathermen, and now Black Lives Matter. They are a radical movement. They are a minority group within a minority, frankly. I did a story about chastising one Black Lives Matter leader for encouraging looting of stores, saying that it was social justice. No. The fact is, most Black folks want better policing, and we have a problem. Some communities are over-policed. At the same time, they're under-policed, depending on what you need to have done in those communities. That's why it's so important for folks to work together. And I think that Black Lives Matter is a great political hot button these days, but it is not. It's an indication of the problem. It's not the problem itself.
Interesting. Fascinating. He calls BLM a radical movement. And that, of course, Blacks want more policing. 855-295-6600. Dave in Kansas City. Hello, Dave.
Yeah, hi, Tom. You know, I agree with you on the prosecution and the problems they get with prosecution, but, you know, a lot of criminals don't think they're going to get caught when they commit the crime, so why would they do the crime? I think it has to do with your value system. My value system tells me not to do certain things. Other people's value system says, go ahead and do it. And when you look at Black Lives Matter, that is nothing more than a value system. And it's a current value system that's very popular. But, you know, the World War II veterans are gone. The values that they taught and embraced, people call old-fashioned. There's a churn of people in the United States. If you look at the obituaries, people get old and they pass away, and new people are born. And there's a churn in people, and the value system in this country is churning. And I don't see how you turn it back, because it doesn't seem to be getting any better. And I think that it's just the values that people have are changing and contributing to crime.
At some point, it will get so bad that people will say, we can't put up with this, and they will be the new World War II generation. They'll be the new crowd that says, enough of this. We need better values. I agree with you on that. I think it's a pendulum, but I don't know why it's going up now, other than maybe it's just the cycle. Is that all it is?
Well, I think the 2008 recession depressed a lot of people. A lot of people lost houses. A lot of kids growing up, they kind of lost faith in this country. And things have been rough since 2008. And every time something like that happens, it's an excuse for the radical people to push their agenda and push their values.
Yes.
And so they've been pushing their values. When times are good, it's hard for them to push their values. But since the 2008 recession, these alternative values have been pushed, and they've been very, very successful.
I agree with you 1,000%. You're a kid in college. You're going through college from 2004 to 2008, and you come out, and there isn't a job that you could get, certainly not in your field. You might, I mean, you may not even get a job, and you're looking around, and everything, yes, the economy is in the tank, and you go, so tell me again how this capitalist system is so good. I don't see it. I see we need to stick up with each other. And so there's a whole generation of millennials that are thinking, yeah, what's wrong with socialism? I think it's a passing phase. I hope it's a passing phase. It fails every time it's ever tried.
Do you think that if crime gets bad enough, these younger liberal people are going to say, hey, we need the death penalty. We need to incarcerate these people and start executing them. Do you think that the younger generation is actually going to reverse course and do that?
I do.
I don't believe so.
Yeah. History, Dave. History. History repeats itself. There will be a point where, but how bad does it have to get is the problem. How long do we have to wait for that pendulum to come back around again?
You're right.
Meantime, yeah, stay safe. Thanks, Dave. Eric in Sparks, Nevada. Hello, Eric.
Hi, Tom. I'm a police officer.
Hi.
And I see the biggest issues as being cops are scared to do their jobs because of all the stuff that's going on now. And on top of that,
you know, all
these bureaucracies occurring. And because of the bureaucracies, it becomes a world of why should I do the job? Like, why should I work harder to put a guy in jail when they're going to let him out of prison or they're not going to prosecute him anyway? So it's creating liability and fear in police. And it becomes a world of why should I do the right thing?
You're speaking truth to power, my friend. I got to hit my break, but thank you for doing what you do. Be strong. I know you are, but I think your point is exactly right on the mark.